Good morning, Skrull Nation. Today is Friday, October 13th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Skrull Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Aqua Bowl. I'm your host, Brendan Peterson, and today we are talking about all things National Day of Writing. But first and foremost, I am here in the studio, as always, with the lovely and talented Kate Harrington. Kate Harrington, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, I was up late, and then I had to get up early to I was doing my lit review for our gender class this
morning. Oh, your annotated bibliography?
Yeah.
Gonna have to do that this weekend.
It's actually not gonna be sorry, we're getting off topic.
But it's midterms, right?
Yeah.
It's not a great time for
happy midterms,
students.
Everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be a long weekend, but I'm okay with that.
Gia, how are you?
I'm doing good on this spooky Friday the 13th. You know, thriving, aliving, everything
except
like that.
Today we have to be careful about like walking under ladders.
Yeah, apparently. Well, now I have to be. I wasn't thinking of that, but you know, now I'm just going to be on edge.
Yeah,
so all
friends
day.
Are four. Friends
yeah.
are four reminding each other
hey,
about
remember
paranoid.
To be paranoid.
Superstitious days.
Paranoid as heck all day.
Yeah.
But of course, the Skrull team is not alone in the studio. We try not to be alone in the studio.
No. Bad things happen.
Because then we drive each other crazy. And we bring guests on to keep us all at bay. So, without further ado, we are joined today by Caitlin M., a member of the outreach team here at DePaul's Aqua Bowl.
Peer tutor extraordinaire.
Hello.
Peer tutor extraordinaire.
Writing fellow.
Is not making her Radio DePaul debut, but is making her Skrull debut. Caitlin, what was your first experience on the radio?
My first experience on the radio was not through Radio DePaul, but a few years ago, I won a contest to win tickets to see Chicago.
Ooh.
And so I called the oldie station, and I realized I won. And then a few minutes later, I heard my own voice letting me know that I won.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So a few weeks after that, my mom and I went to the Chicago concert at Ravinia.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Unfortunately, we don't have any
Yeah, we don't have any free swag for you or anything.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
T-shirts. I mean, we should get a t-shirt gun.
I agree.
For like this, like 8x8 space.
You can just hear the gun go off.
Yeah, you could just shoot it into like the upper opposite corner of you, and I think we would be okay.
Well, I've been petitioning for a soundboard for some time, like a real soundboard with just like buttons with sounds that I can play at any given time.
I just think we should get a t-shirt gun.
That's also fair.
That is also not close at all to seeing Chicago at Ravinia. Just putting that out there. They are not the same, and we will never get to that level.
Well, I guess we do offer the free service of tutoring. Like, that's a technically free thing.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
But Caitlin, our guest, is a tutor, so she's not getting anything.
She could get tutored. That's something available to her. It's actually something that we encourage.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll just let you have this one because I don't care.
I like Caitlin, when I'm wrong, it's like a victory, but when you're wrong, I'll let you have it. And so I'll allow it.
I'm not engaging in this conversation anymore. What is your major, Caitlin?
I am double majoring in communications and media and PR and advertising.
Okay, cool.
And a minor in digital cinema.
Oh, you got a lot going on.
Girl, half same.
A little busy.
Do you have like a dream job? People always hate me when I ask them, like, what do you want to do after college? Like, I don't know either, but I want to know like what
the plan is.
Yeah, what the
if you got
the dream
a general
is.
Plan.
I guess a dream as of now, maybe an advertising agency.
Ooh, like your own?
No, but working with a large group of people like we do at the Equable, but also being able to write for advertising.
Oh,
that
would
be really cool, I think.
Dope. Yeah. I mean, Gia's our resident PR person.
Yeah.
Right?
Caitlin and I have actually taken PR and ad classes together.
Amazing.
Shout out, what was it? Like a multiculturalism and
in communication. Sherry Termolan.
Yeah, shout out Sherry Termolan.
A devout Skrull listener.
I hope so. Well, I hope she's listening. She's like, yes!
Finally, I've been recognized.
But yeah, Caitlin, you're ad focused, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm PR focused, so a little different, but kind of the same.
It all, you know, writing,
you know,
communicating.
Yeah.
Everything's an argument, all that.
Basically.
Just people talking.
Yeah. Isn't that what college is? Just people talking.
And like getting a little bit better at it.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. Trying to get better at it.
Some of us get worse at it.
Which brings us to National Day on Writing, which is basically like a celebration of literacy, right?
Absolutely. So every year on October 20th is National Day on Writing. It was founded by the National Council of Teachers of English. And the purpose of that is just to celebrate that all writers are writers, which is something we also focus on at the Equable.
Our core belief, number one, anyone who writes anything is a writer.
Is a writer, absolutely. Yeah. But also that writing is just more than writing papers, but you write in a lot of areas of your life. And it's changed now, too, with like the use of Twitter or Facebook and all of that. But you write letters to friends and you are able to communicate feelings and thoughts.
Yeah, right? Like what we were just talking about, how we're always communicating. And also, just to be clear, National Day on Writing is next Friday.
Oh,
not
absolutely.
This Friday. So
a week from now.
We're getting people excited about it today. Yes.
This
right?
is the run up to the national holiday.
This is the hype session.
Holiday. This is like a congressional mandated thing, right?
Yeah.
That's great. This is legit. Like, that's a full stamp. I was just going to say, with my college, the full stamp, not a half stamp. I was going to say that I think the best skill that I've learned from college is the ability to email, which is such a random and tedious, but like is so fundamentally important to anything that
that's a genre.
I can write a mean, you know, professional email.
Yeah.
And by mean, I mean good. The opposite of mean.
Yeah.
Not to be evaluative.
Can be mean. Like if you have to like
effective. Oh, I can write a good strongly worded email as well.
We
like when you're with one finger, like tick, tick,
oh, yeah,
tick.
I can only type with one finger.
Yeah.
Everyone let you know I'm a horrible typer, but I get really into it, so I can type fast, but it's just one finger.
Because it's a lot of intensity.
Just like crazy typing. Mm. You couldn't see me, but I was typing.
I saw it.
Everyone here saw it. But yeah, Writing Center's National Writing Center Day. Everyone should be excited for that.
Well, I was going to say, so you are on the outreach team at the Equable. We all know not as great as the Skrull team.
Okay.
I mean, It's just a fact.
No, we're not firing shots here. We're all equal in the eyes of the Outreach.
Outreach is a wonderful program, which I got the pleasure of being a part of for a wonderful quarter last year.
If Outreach does not exist, there's a good chance that none of us would be sitting in this room right now. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So count your blessings. I was just. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry.
We know you love Skrull.
I just have to pretend like I'm full of myself.
You're protecting Skrull. You're protecting Skrull.
But why don't you tell us about how amazing Outreach is and what you're doing on it?
Absolutely. So Outreach is absolutely wonderful, led by our fearless leader, Jen Finstrom.
Friend of the show. We all know.
The best.
She is the Outreach coordinator who's actually at the National Conference on Peer Tutoring and Writing right now in New York. So,
do you know where in New York? Is it New York City?
Hofstra University.
That's up in Long Island.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she was very excited about that.
Yeah, that's super fun.
And she helps facilitate all of the outreach events, whether they're on campus or off. So she's helping represent DePaul right now. But the outreach team helps support writers. We have tabling events to promote the Aquable, but also holidays like National Day on Writing. We help with Banned Books Week and promote that, as well as National Poetry Month.
Which is April? What month
is
it?
I think it's in the spring.
Oh, yeah.
So we have all those events. We help collaborate with the library as well.
So Jen was the one who got us our librarian, our resident librarian for our shell on Banned Books Week,
which
is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jen has been behind a lot of Skrull this
Jen
year.
Jen is basically a member of Skrull.
Yeah. Which, she's
Skrull
in the channel.
Skrull kind of is like an outreach thing, right? Yeah. We're promoting.
We're outreaching. Yeah.
We're reaching out.
Maybe we should join forces, right?
Absolutely. We're already joined forces, Kate. Like, we're not
right
separate
here.
Things, really. We're at the
you
writing center.
You all know now that in my head, Skrull is above everything else. And I don't look at any other
source. Is other writers.
Right. Is
absolutely.
Other teams, yeah. So what exactly do you do on Outreach?
So I am a new member to Outreach. This is my first year on a team at the Aquable.
Cool.
So a lot of what I've done with the team so far is help brainstorm events like this and help coordinate what we were going to be doing for National Day on Writing. And we also have prepared our plan for the peer tutoring or peer mentor and tutoring summit that's happening October 27th. And so a lot of what I've done is help prepare what we're going to be helping other tutors with.
Super
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Love it.
I was going to say something about, I think we're doing a show about peer mentor summit.
We
maybe?
Are indeed.
It's coming.
So
it's coming up.
Mark
Keep
your calendars.
An eye out for that.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today.
Well, I was going to say too, that kind of connects with your PR and advertising side, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. I really love that. I love connecting with other groups of people, helping collaborate with them. And
it's like event planning, right?
Event planning, tag teaming.
That's super cool.
Letting people know like what we're doing. That was actually another thing I did with radio was this past summer. I was a summer promotions intern at Cumulus. So lot of the local, or like WKQX, so like the local alternative station and the oldie station, what we did all summer was like outreaching and going to events. So that's what I do now at school as well.
Wait. When did you get those tickets to see Chicago at Ravinia?
The year before the internship.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So it was... Yeah, it was fun.
You got something free out of it, and then you got to work for it, right?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Love it.
So it was a weird summer, or a fun summer thing that somehow transferred into what I'm doing at school. Here I am now.
Just outreaching.
Outreaching.
Definitely one thing I really appreciate about the Aquable is, as a former member of Outreach and a fellow PR major.
Who doesn't feel slighted at all.
Let me just say, this is the only team I've ever been on, so it's all I know.
I like that the Aquable tries to give you kind of like diverse opportunities to help the Aquable as not only just like a writing center in which you're like a tutor at, but as a, like a company or not a company,
an organization,
as a brand, a collective. That's very cool.
This is gonna sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but over the summer I was accepted into this internship program that like specifically said like you had to have a journalism internship to get it, and I like as a prerequisite. And I are prerequisites. Sorry, I can find that word.
I liked it.
I kind of like prerequisites.
Yeah, just say it. Portmanteau. Yeah.
And I basically introduced the Writing Center as a media internship because
nice.
I'm doing scroll work and yeah. I'm like working with audio and like you're doing things like getting guests and
journalism.
Like it's kind of journalism and it worked. Like they took me. And so like it.
We're outreaching here.
We are outreaching of more than that. Like the company, like Duckable is like, it's not a fake company. It's like a real
There's a research team. There's a films crew.
Yeah.
We got it all.
We're doing work here.
Yeah. And it's not busy work exactly. You know what I mean? Like they're all kind of contributing
we're all, you know, members trying to propel our brand or whatever.
Yeah. And that's what's cool too. We're doing that on like a DePaul level within the DePaul community. And then also, like you said, outreaching like to the city at large and doing more within
it's a
the
good
Chicago
first
community.
Step. Don't you also do, I think it always falls around Valentine's Day, International Writing Centers Week?
Yes.
That's outreach too, right?
Yeah. I was on outreach when we did International Writing Centers Week and we did like a lot of campaigns with...
that's where you reach out to other writing centers across
We did like a Twitter thing where we like reached out to... It was a lot of writing centers, a couple in like Japan, a couple in England. Like we had one in France, we had one in Spain. And we were just like, what do you love about writing? And we created like this map... with everyone who responded to us and we like put little pins on where the writing centers were and their names and it was like just cool to see that we're not the only ones who do what we do and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually I want to go back to Kate's earlier point about broader work with Chicago. How much work does the Writing Center do with outside of DePaul? I would assume that like it's students paying tuition who get to use the Writing Center service, but it's not just that, right?
Right. I think, I guess at DePaul, we have, like, the tabling events. So students who come, accepted servant or students day, so they come, or admitted students day, and we have events to let them know that we exist as a resource. And then once they are students here, it's a resource for them, but their families get to learn about the facility as well. But then within... the peer mentoring summit, it's all of the tutors and mentors at DePaul. It's not just the
writing center. Yeah.
And so that's just how our skills transfer to all those other just different communities and different disciplines and how we can learn from each other. And that's just transferable then outside of the city. Like once we are able to collaborate, we can bring all of those skills in any other aspects of our lives.
Yeah. I think that's a really smart strategy for picking schools, like looking at what they actually have to offer beyond like classes and location. And that is not what I did. I was like, this is a cool looking school.
I mean, I got to live in Chicago.
They got a nice quad and I get to ride the magic
the train.
I get to ride the magic like sky tube through the It's great.
It's not even the steel box of death sometimes.
Yeah, the occasional steel ball of I could have talked about the horror that is a CTA for about 20 minutes and I stopped myself. I was
Let's pause. You want to take our first break and then we can talk about the events that Outreach is going to be
the national holiday that is National Writing Day or Day on Writing, excuse me. Yeah,
You're
let's
messing
do it.
It up, but it's fine.
I'm a vagabond. All right, so we're going to take us to our first break with everyone's favorite Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. Please enjoy.
Yeah. Sometimes my tries are outside the line. We've been conditioned to not make mistakes, but I can't live that way. Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate.
Welcome back, Scrawl Nation. That song was my jam.
The jam.
It's my favorite song in third grade.
That's my favorite song in 2017. I think it was like second grade, yeah. Because that would make sense. Fourth grade? Who knows?
Yeah, we're older.
You're old.
Right, you're a junior.
Yep.
Okay. That song, what was it, 2007?
It's an oldie.
It's an oldie.
Oh my God, 10 years?
I think more than that.
Hold on.
Okay, we're gonna pass this off to the research team real quickly. verify that fact that I just heard out.
2004?
Oh yeah. My God.
I knew it was worse than even 2007.
Heck. So I was actually...
Don't say it. I saw...
14 years
yeah.
is what I was gonna say.
How old
13
are
years.
14 years.
I was seven. That is seven. When it came out. Yeah, wild. That's my entire... puberty onwards. Right?
Like, the entire gamut.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, anyways. So that was a fun little digression. But today, really, we're talking about the national...
Not what's unwritten, but what is...
Written.
Nice. What we write.
Ooh,
we're talking about a federal holiday today, and that is the national day... You guys are laughing at me, but it's true.
I know, it just sounds silly when you say it.
National Day on Writing.
Which is next week. October
next week.
20.
Mark your calendars.
I would like class off of... I don't have class that day.
Class on that day. We're not getting rid of it. We're going to have Scrawl.
Yeah, so we'll celebrate it.
With writing.
With writing.
Yes.
Yeah. Caitlin.
Yes.
What's going on the day of the National Day on Writing?
Do you have other things during the week, or is it just the day?
That's a good question.
Yeah. We are celebrating on the Friday, so a week from today. But I believe on the Thursday or the Friday, we are doing a Twitter celebration with the Aqua Bowl Twitter. Wow. With the hashtag, which is a national hashtag of Why I Write. And we hope to have people tweet about why they do write, why it's important to them, how it helps them, what they've learned from it. And we are also doing a Twitter story about a writing letter. We're writing a letter to writing, like, dear writing, thank you for this is what you have taught me. And we're going to be using the hashtag so that we can see students' tweets or writers' tweets on a DePaul level, but again, also on a national level, because that's the hashtag for National Day on Writing. So we get to see why everybody's writing.
That's really cool.
That's dope. Oh, I was going to say, that kind of connects back to another one of our
core beliefs and the why we write. Is that your soundboard?
I think we have to do that every time we drop a core tenet.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a core belief. Yeah.
Which is, so the why I write could easily be answered by our third core belief, which is that writing facilitates communication and learning. Right?
Indeed.
So if you are wanting to tweet, but you don't know exactly why you write, you can steal that one for sure. Maybe cite us. MLAs.
Cite us.
How do you cite an organization? I don't know who wrote the
core
tenets.
You can cite the website.
I know. I believe that Lori Dietz, Matthew Pearson, and
Katie Brown.
But do we know
Katie
that?
Brown. I mean, like, it's on our handbook.
I feel like it's kind of like with the Bible. Oh, like, well, there are Jen. People who we know
who
wrote it, but they were it was like inspired by God.
Divine
you know?
Intervention, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Liz Coughlin had something to do with it.
I'd say
we should do a podcast. Like, it's just an investigation of where the core tenets came from.
I agree.
Mm. We're going to go back to the Writing Center today, and then our directors will say, yeah, we wrote them. Done.
and then I go back to the Misha tape. That's a reference to Serial. If you, guys.
Killed the room.
Anyways.
What was that a reference to?
To Serial, the podcast.
Okay.
Yes. No. This is the only podcast I care about. Scrawl.
It's
I
only, such a good joke.
I only listen to Scrawl.
It's such a good joke. Well... none of us laughed, so
yeah, yike. Okay. Anyways.
I'm not defined by my audience. Anyways.
Anyways. We are, though. When you write, you have to keep your audience in mind. And when you communicate in general.
Untapped creative genius.
Just.
Anyways.
Anyways. In anticipation of your Twitter campaign on why we write, Scrawl, why do we write? Would you like to share, maybe? Why do you write?
Expression, self-expression.
What would your letter say?
I guess I think all of us write in a lot of different ways. So maybe
that's
like to two-part this question, be like, what do you write?
Yeah.
Why do you write it?
Absolutely.
Well, but that's kind of the matter at hand here is that the what we write is everything. All we do is... Mm-hmm. Right.
All I do is write.
That's why
you know what I mean? You're texting, you're emailing, you're tweeting,
I never think about texts as writing.
But assignments. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's a huge part of you're writing Instagram captions.
That's exactly.
Oh my
gosh. I was just going to say that. Like, there's so many parts. We talked about that in one of our outreach meetings and planning about what we're going to be doing for National Day on Writing and how people tweet and you choose certain words just to convey what you want to say. In Twitter, you have a very limited room to do that. Mm-hmm. So
except we may have less limited
that is true.
Room because they're thinking about bumping it up to 280 characters, which is interesting because that would give us more space to write.
Shout out.
I was against it, but now I can see the value.
I haven't written a tweet in a while. And I don't say that like proudly exactly because as a journalism person, I'm supposed to be tweeting. Yeah.
Keeping current.
And I'm just not good at it. I retweet sometimes.
My Twitter is basically all retweets.
That's okay. It's kind of it's a personality. It's like you're just like, this is me.
So going back to the why I write question, like I think I tweet.
Why do you write?
I tweet to be stupid and funny usually.
Mm. Yeah, I usually tweet to tell stories.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's good.
To connect with people.
Yeah,
I think I tweet definitely.
This has become a why I tweet. Why, and I, not tweet. Why I write.
We can go back. But.
I kind of like this. I think I tweet to relate to certain parts of an audience because I know like I'm very aware of like who looks at my Twitter and I have like a protected account so I'm like very aware of it and I think I definitely like retweet things where like oh well like this relates to me but I know like it's going to relate to this person if they see it
or
I'm not like fiending for likes or anything but I just want like I just think I use Twitter as like a way to connect with others and be like, oh my God, I like this thing. I know that you like this thing too. Isn't this some cool shared content we can laugh about?
Yeah. That was the most clinical corporate breakdown of social interaction on Twitter I have ever heard.
Social media like in general.
Yeah, no, it's totally
the
true.
The most corporate breakdown of being hashtag relatable, which I am.
When I do tweet, it tends to be about news just because that's kind of where my brain's at. Yeah. And I'll be like,
that's also what you follow on Twitter too. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're operating in like your own little.
Yeah, my little news bubble. But I'll like.
Well, same with Gia's also operating in her own little bubble of like her friends and what she thinks will relate to her friends.
Yeah.
But we do occasionally write more broadly. For me, it's at the magazine, whenever I publish stuff there or when I'm editing stuff.
Mm. What magazine?
14 East Magazine. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Plug.
Even though it was a disingenuous question. Because
what magazine?
And I'm a creative writing major, so whoa. I do a lot of writing. And I actually get very existential about why I write a lot. I don't know.
Can you get into it right now? Can we just
jump? No, I think about it all the time. No,
then you have, don't know. Like, have a response.
To the surface.
Well, it's like it's a self-expression. Like, it's like how you can share and connect with other people, and like using it as an art form. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to talk about art.
Who do you write for?
Myself. Oh, no. Absolutely. Yeah. And if I ever try to write for someone else, it just is terrible and icky, and I hate it. And I have to go back to thinking about like what I like and what I enjoy and what I think will be smart or what I think will be funny, because that's all I really care about. You should what?
Think about like who I'm writing for, because like aside from Twitter,
right?
You know, I'm not a writing major in general. I do have a journalism minor now, but I've yet to take classes for it. Shout out, I see you winter quarter. But when I do write, aside from Twitter and like texting people, it's for classes, and it's for mostly my honors courses because it's very writing heavy. And I find that a lot of the time before I start an essay, I'm kind of like, okay, am I trying to make this teacher angry with my opinions? Or am I trying to, you know, just appease them for an easy A or whatever? I think the best essay I've written in a while was for my philosophy course that I took on epistemology and honors. And I wrote about Ayn Rand, who my professor loved, which is dumb. I just like tore her apart, and he really liked it because he's like, I can tell like you were the only one who criticized her, first of all, in the class, and I liked that you didn't care that I was a fan. And I was like, good. Yeah. I don't care that you're a fan.
So you're writing sort of for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think you do produce better work when you're like, no, this is what I want to talk about.
I guess I kind of want to say that like I would write for myself in the hopes that doing so will make it more authentic, so that people who read it can like
this
better.
Is Kate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what about you? That's a scary thing to do though. Just like if you have something that you don't think people agree with, or something that you're really passionate about, that you know that your audience just isn't on board.
Yeah, so. And I think that's why we value our writers so much that come in, because we understand like how vulnerable it is to
read out loud.
Yeah, and, like, to read or to share it at all around, right?
Around that question, I'm like, you don't have to if you don't want to. I can read it, but if you are cool with it, you could.
What about you, Caitlin? Why do you write?
I also write for myself. That's something I think is my favorite thing about writing, and being able to express how I feel or think about something, or if I have an idea that I think is impressive, I'm able to explain why I thought that way. And I think that it's just a good way to express how I'm feeling or make sense of what's going on in my
life. Yeah, agreed.
So
writing is like a way of problem solving.
Yeah, whether it's
making
like
sense of things.
Academic writing, like writing about something I've read, or like writing just about like a journal diary situation, like what's going on in my world. So
I've been trying to journal more.
It's hard.
It is hard.
That's a different kind of difficult, but
yeah.
Kate's giving me a look, and I'm giving
you're
Kate
giving
a
me
look.
A lot.
Because I don't know who I write for. Like, I don't think I write for myself.
Yeah, you don't.
I think part of it. What? What is that?
You're a journalist. You write for like an outlet. Right?
Brendan just really didn't want someone to confirm that.
I guess.
I don't think I write for yourself. You're right. Excuse
but that's kind
me?
Of fundamental about journalism, that it's information that you're sharing. Like, you want to get it out. It's not, like, creative writing can sometimes be like I just needed this for me to self-express whatever I'm feeling. But journalism is like, I need to tell other people.
It's just more service-oriented, I guess. Yeah. That's what my brain has been warped into over the last couple of years. I don't unenjoy it. Making up words every single day on the radio.
Also, we know that you enjoy it because that's your major and all you do and talk about. It doesn't mean that there's no value in not writing for yourself. Obviously, there's a huge value for writing for other people.
I think
I've talked about sports like once, like outside of, like, you know, just like in terms of things that I've, I mean, like, I don't just.
How does that relate? I'm a little confused.
because you said that I only talk about journalism, and that's
I'm multifaceted, Kate.
Is that part of journalism?
Kate,
though?
I contain multitudes.
I'm a complex man.
I've been thinking about this letter to writing, and I think that I want to write one for next week, but I think it's going to be really actually emotional because writing is just a huge part of my life, and I feel like it's just going to be a mess.
I didn't actually like writing until I got to like my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
I was always like, I was one of those kids who was like, I'm a bad writer.
Right.
You know, and because I just didn't know how to edit things and I could get frustrated really easily. But like, and I knew I was like an okay writer, but I was just not there. And I think, yeah, my letter would definitely be kind of like a, oh, hello, you know, old friend.
Old friend. Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
We've grown closer, but I didn't always like you very much. We were like acquaintances for a while.
Yeah. What do you think your letter is going to say, Caitlin? Are you planning on writing one?
I hope to.
Yeah.
It was something similar to that, actually, what Gia just said, in that I didn't always see myself. I'm not majoring or minoring in writing, but it's just something that working at the Aqua Bowl is just really kind of, I don't know.
Fostered.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's made its way back into my life. And it was only until like one teacher asked me, they were like, have you ever thought about going into writing? And I said, no. They're like, you should. And that was it. It was like one person like who brought it to my attention that that was like a strong skill that I wasn't developing. Or, you know, I was developing, but I didn't.
You were focusing on it.
Yeah. And then now it's just become something that's kind of taken over my life and every different area of my life.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of like everyone's personal like journey with writing is like who in your community like helped you to get interested in writing or maybe just encouraged, right? Like I know several writers who have like just one teacher who told them like,
it was just one, and it was just like one comment, and like that was it.
And then they're like, oh, now I have confidence and
so,
I can do it.
So I feel like just my letter to writing would almost be a thank you letter to the person, and then to writing for how it's changed my life since then.
I actually like how earlier you like mentioned that like you can write a letter to writing, and you said like thank you writing, but maybe some people's letters won't be that nice, and it'll be like you suck.
Hey writing,
you are a lot of work, and I am constantly frustrated with you. Well, good luck with that.
I want to do a breakup letter.
Good luck with divorcing yourself from the written word.
Language. I'm not writing anymore.
It's sort of like I'm not writing anything.
No text. If I text, no I'll tweets.
Do the weird
tweets,
like, you know, you press the button on your headphones. You're like, send text to Caitlin.
Only speaking now.
Yeah.
Or like my dad. Only. My dad only uses the, hey Siri, text Brenda that, and there's no punctuation.
Hey Caitlin, what's up? Question mark. How are you doing today? Question mark. Do you want to go get some ice cream? Question mark.
But the grammar in that, I don't know. I would argue that's still writing.
I'm speaking it.
It's inescapable. But you got,
punctuation is not a part of speaking. It's a part of writing.
Words, question mark, are spoken words.
But you referred to, anyways, we're going to take, that was another place where it's like, we might just dive into a 60-minute conversation about commas. And with that in mind, we're going to take our second break.
What are we going to be doing during the second break?
Well, I was thinking about revealing it on the other side, but we might as well talk about it now. And actually, we should talk about it now because our listeners can play along. Not play along, but do the same thing. So this is I'm about to play for you Every Day I Write the Book by Elvis Costello and the Attractions. It's a classic. It's about 4 minutes long. In that time, the Scrawl team and our guests are going to be free writing, which for those of you who don't know, free writing is just writing and writing and writing and writing nonstop until a time limit has passed. You're going to write about, or we're going to write about, our most challenging writing experience and what we learned from it. So it's going to be pretty quick. 4 minutes comes pretty quickly. Then when we're done, we're just going to share. And if you want to tweet at us.
Well, not today, though. We're boycotting Twitter today.
We're boycotting Twitter today.
I personally
am. I'm being told.
Are we boycotting Twitter?
Because of the Rose McGowan stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this earlier.
We talked about this.
Women are boycotting Twitter today. So maybe Facebook us.
Yeah.
We'll comment on our recent Instagram post.
My Insta DMs.
We'll find a way. In any case, write with us. We'll see you on the other side. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks, guys.
own film rights and be working on the sequel. I'm giving you a long look every day.
All right, welcome back, Squirrel Nation. Hope you enjoyed your free write. I know I did not, because I wanted to write about what I didn't want to write about what I wrote about, but I was out of time. How did you guys do as Gia continues to type?
Oh my God, I'm just finishing a sentence. I want this complete sentence. Okay. I really, really want it. Okay. You can continue.
Okay. Mine was okay. It took me a while to.
Yeah,
I couldn't come up with one single thing.
Okay, which is my problem. Give me abstract. That's okay.
Yeah, what about you, Caitlin?
Mine's pretty solid.
Oh,
I have nice. A whole story going here.
Okay. Oh, should we start with Caitlin?
No, we're gonna go to them last.
Okay,
that's fair. I finished.
We'll save the best for last.
Okay,
great. Happy for you.
So because I was struggling for so long to just come up with one I want to talk about, I didn't really write anything that I didn't erase, and so I kind of was sort of by the point. but
you're brainstorming. That's a valuable part of the process.
Sure. So I was doing I was trying to write last year a story called The Alethea, and I did eventually write that story, and it turned out okay.
But stop. Process, it turned out great.
The process to write that story took about 5 months. Between all the research and the interviewing and the writing. But even after I had accumulated...
What was it about?
The Alethea was a story about a group of journalists at DePaul in the 60s who quit the DePaulia en masse, and they started their own paper. It was like, what's it called? The Alethea.
Cool.
And it just covered the 60s. It was like they were around for 3 or 4 years.
5 months is so long. Like, think about it. A quarter at DePaul is only like 3 months.
Yeah, it was...
It's like a quarter.
It was not... It was too long. I did spend too much time on it. But... the research took maybe 2 months, and the rest of it was trying to figure out how to put it on paper and finding time to write it. And it was just like in sum such like a long process. But I just learned how to manage my time now. Like, I know I'm not gonna, like, when I start a project, I'm gonna sit down and finish it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you mean sit down and finish it?
I can't just keep putting it off and be like, oh, I'm gonna write this section tomorrow, maybe, and da da. I just need to find time, like carve out like a 12-hour period where I can write a first draft effectively. Yeah, I've done that before.
That's disgusting.
But it works. It's what I need. Disgusting. It's a more like effective use of my time. Anyways, enough about me.
You're a binge writer, so that's
I am
what
a binge writer.
We understand now. Gia, what you got?
So mine is about an experience I had in middle school when I was about 11. And I thought I was a really awful writer, mostly because I didn't know how to edit things. But in Michigan public schools, they make you take kind of like this proctored free-write writing exam every couple months, where they just give you a prompt and they're like, you got 30 minutes, give me something. And you're like a baby.
Yeah,
and
11
you just
is so young.
And you're so stressed. I went to a really intense public school, but... 1 year they gave us a creative writing prompt, and they said, like, use metaphor in some way, but you can do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, okay. So I wrote about a girl who would come into class every day, and there was like a pet, a class pet, and it was a bird, and it was like in a cage. And she spent her class not listening to the teacher, but just staring at this bird every day, wondering about it. And eventually she comes into class and the bird is dead in the cage. And the metaphor was supposed to be regarding, like, you know, singular reality and, like, not being free. And
you were supposed to be at 11?
Yeah. I was 11.
Ooh. I know why the cage works. Yeah.
Basically.
From 11.
And I just thought it was, like, the most poetic thing I'd ever written. And I, like, turned it in. I was like, oh, they're going to be, like, really impressed. They're going to be like, Gia, this is great. Like, good job, you know? And I failed. They gave me a failing grade. Because one, the proctor didn't understand my metaphor. He was like, you didn't like build up, you know, her relationship with this bird enough. I'm like, you gave me half an hour. So,
and I'm 11.
And I'm a literal child. And also didn't know how to edit. So it was probably just a mess.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought it was amazing, but it was, you know, crazy and didn't make any sense. But I think that it was just the disappointment of that, and it kind of discouraged me from creatively writing and putting my ideas out there for a while.
So
shout out Ann Arbor Public Schools. So it didn't help me, but because of it, I pushed myself to learn to edit.
Interesting.
Which did ultimately improve my writing, and at the moment, I'm trying to do creative writing again, which is something I haven't attempted since I was 11. And, you know, hopefully I can do better, I guess.
You can.
Thanks.
Through revision and all those good core practices or whatever. My free write was kind of about how overwhelmed I get with revising my work. I find it pretty easy for me to get a first draft out. I usually know, like, kind of the direction I want to take a piece or what I want to talk about. But then as soon as I get even the faintest hint of feedback, I'm like, this is terrible. I'm never going to make it good. Like, you just suggested that I should make it good.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, that process has happened with at least 15 pieces in like the past year alone, where I'm like, maybe I just won't. So now I just have a bunch of unfinished, unrevised drafts, which teaches me that I shouldn't do that, maybe. I don't know. It teaches me to get more like concrete feedback, I think, like more things that I can physically do. Because sometimes if you like sit in a workshop class, which I have to a lot, they'll say like, you know, I didn't understand this character or whatever. And then I sit there and I think, well, how do I do that next?
Just be better.
Yeah. How? So I think my takeaway from my challenging experiences in writing is to get better feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Or maybe
specific feedback.
Don't be afraid to ask for clarification on feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. Caitlin, your great story.
Well, I didn't say it was great, but it was definitely a learning experience. It was my junior year of high school. I had to write an analytical essay about hybrid cars, which I was very excited about. It was my junior year of high school. I got my driver's license and I drove a Prius. So I was like very passionate about this topic. And like two nights.
Where are you from?
I'm from the suburbs. So
which suburb?
Bartlett.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Just curious.
Yeah. So
about who at 16 is driving a Prius.
I know. I was very concerned about the environment.
I love it.
So I was really excited about this paper. We had material to pull from, or like a piece that we had to talk about. And two nights before it was due, I had a draft of everything I thought I wanted to say, and I had a draft full of sentences that did not flow together. It was just like I had ideas everywhere that took up like 5 pages. And so I copied and pasted the evidence I wanted to use and then just deleted the entire thing.
Wow.
And my mom like found me in my room in absolute shambles.
Sobbing, yeah.
Actually sobbing. And she's like, why are you awake? And I told her that like I'm having a very difficult time. She's like, you need to go to bed. Like, you need to just like stop whatever is going on and, you know, just go to bed and like sleep it off and then like work on it tomorrow. And so I did that. I just kind of dropped everything and I waited a night, slept on it, and then I was able to create a new draft the next day. And this is for the same class of the teacher who told me that I should probably pursue writing.
Awesome.
So that was just, I always like think about how that difficult experience was able I was able to overcome whatever I was going through and then have somebody tell me that like it was okay. Still kind of okay and yeah. Effective. So I guess that experience as an entire taught me that I'm capable of being a writer. And it takes patience to like gather your thoughts and like just move forward, which is okay.
Yeah. So that reminds me of, I don't think we talked about this event that we're doing, because aren't you doing a tabling where we're going to be asking, or you're going to be asking people for advice?
Yes.
Writing advice?
I was just thinking about that too. We are doing a tabling event for National Day on Writing where we're going to be asking DePaul students their advice for other writers. And we really wanted to do this because it helps enforce the idea that everybody at DePaul is a writer and that you're able to give peers advice rather than having somebody tell you what to do or mm-hmm. what you should do. It's that we all can work together and that everybody has valuable things to say and can help people.
Yeah, because I was just thinking your mom's advice of just go to bed is that's great writing advice sometimes, right?
That's my
Let your subconscious do the work for a little bit.
Yeah, so yeah, Brennan and I always talk about that. And I actually had a writer who attached a prompt to a recent appointment, and the prompt says, "Your paper should not be a first draft. Good writing is always rewriting. So do get a first draft down on paper, let it sit for a day, and then go back to it and revise it. Like lasagna, it's always better read."
Which is not true,
but I mean, the metaphor is lovely. Yeah. The idea that
that's a metaphor that would pass the AAPS writing prompt
if an 11-year-old wrote it.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great piece of advice to just let something sit. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what everyone else's advice is next week on National Day on Writing.
Absolutely. That's something we do, though, at the Uncle Bowl. That's what I wanted to say. And that's why we really wanted to place a high importance on that this year, in that like we are a peer tutoring facility, and that like it's not like there's a hierarchy of people who know things and people who don't. It's mm-hmm. you come
we're all peers,
and we're all peers and we work together rather than
prescribing things.
Yep.
It's literally my tutoring philosophy.
Yep. So we thought that would be really good to help everybody work together and know that they're capable of writing anything.
Yeah.
Love it.
Lit.
Literature indeed.
It didn't come out.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in today, Scrawl Nation. I believe it's about all we have time for.
Mm-hmm. Remember next week, Friday the 20th,
National Day on
celebrate
writing.
Celebrate the fact that we're literate.
Yeah.
That's a privilege to be literate. You know what I mean?
Celebrate the fact that you are allowed to write long essays for professors.
Yeah. It's a blessing.
Yeah,
it's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
Don't squint.
In disguise.
It's a blessing. Absolutely.
And we'll probably say something about it next week on Scrawl.
Yeah, we don't forget.
But enjoy your spooky Friday, everyone. Go get a spooky tattoo, or don't if you don't like tattoos.
Special thing. I feel like getting a tattoo on Friday the 13th is a bad idea.
No, most tattoo places have deals.
$20.
That's why people do it.
Tattoos are right.
I walked into a bad. Caitlin, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Well,
friend of the show. So happy.
We will see you next week, same time, same place. In the meantime, take it easy and enjoy your weekend. Thanks, guys.